T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. The Fan.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Cantara, on 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number 3. Wow. It's amazing how quickly this program goes day in and day out. And again, we're here Monday through Friday, 12 to 3. I will be off on this Wednesday. We got an early Padre game at 1 o'clock, but nonetheless, we'll be in that night, or on Thursday night. Yeah, Thursday it'll be at 1 o'clock. These days go by so fast. I can't keep track of one day or the other. That's why I always write on my little sheet the date in front of me. These days just fly by. But Padres, the next 3 nights, play at 4:40. We'll have all the games, of course, right here on 97.3 The Fan. And then on Thursday, they got a day game at 1 o'clock. So I'll be off, but I will be in for the high school football show on Thursday night, 9 to 11. And, of course, back in on Friday, getting you ready for another big weekend of pro and college football. I want to get to phone calls. We do have a gentleman coming up. We're going to talk about the USC Trojans. And we're going to talk about the Trojans right now as well. Ryan Karchi, who covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times, is going to be joining me at 2:35. We'll get you the Hang of Star Play of the Day, and then we'll get you to Chris Ello and Tony Gwynn. Gwynn and Chris, I'm going to actually sit in with Chris for a few minutes today since he has a very, very short show. We told Tony, hey, you know what? You know, don't drive down to the station for 2 segments today, and then Chris will be doing the pregame show. But would like to get out to your phone calls. We've touched on a lot of issues in the first 2 hours of the program. We got into the Padres, what direction they're going to go. And, boy, everybody seems to be a little frustrated with the way the Padres are entering the season. We had an opportunity there in our last segment to talk with Jason Cole from FadSided.com, to kind of jump around the National Football League with Breeze and Roethlisberger going to be out. Roethlisberger for the remainder of the year. Mason Rudolph, the former Oklahoma State quarterback now, will take over as a signal caller there with the 0-2 Steelers. And Drew Brees going to have surgery on that right thumb. And, boy, you know, I was really hoping he was going to come back, not just because he was on my fantasy football team, but Drew Brees, a great community member here in San Diego, still lives here. He's sponsoring these flag football leagues around the country. And him and his wife, Brittany, doing a great job in a variety of different ways, along with raising their young family. But, you know, hopefully Drew can get that thumb healed and be ready to roll and get back out there for the New Orleans Saints. I still think it's going to come down to New Orleans and Atlanta in that division. I don't see Carolina, nor do I see Tampa Bay really competing for the division. Okay, I want to get to SC here a little bit. Oh, man, they lost to BYU on Saturday. I watched that game before I went to the 1904 soccer game at SDCCU Stadium on Saturday night. And they lose to BYU in overtime, 30-27. You know, I'll be honest with you, it kind of came down, least of all what I thought, and I'm sure we got a lot of SC fans in my listening audience. Did SC play hard? Yeah, they played hard. Did they play as inspirational as they did in the game against Stanford? No. I know it was a non-conference game. They're still 1-0 in conference. They've got Utah Friday night at the Coliseum, which is going to be a hell of a game. Going to be a hell of a game. But again, if you're USC, you can't lose to BYU. And I know BYU's got a great contingent out there. They've had some great football teams. This is not one of them. This is not one of them. And if you're USC, and I know last week, you know, with all the hubbub, I was on the air last Monday when Lynn Swan resigned. And we tracked down our buddy Arash Markazi, who put it out on Twitter. We got him on with a matter of minutes to get his thoughts on it. And then Carol Folt, the new president up there at SC, hires Dave Roberts, who had been involved with compliance up there, and they hire him as the interim guy until they figure out what they're going to do. And then about Wednesday, it started to come out that they'd given Clay Helton the vote of confidence. And I said, well, that vote of confidence is going to work about as long as they don't lose to Notre Dame or USC, or to UCLA, excuse me. And, you know, they lose to BYU. BYU's not a bad team. They've got some players there. I mean, that young quarterback, Zach Wilson's, is a talented guy, a really talented quarterback. But, you know, I'm watching Keaton Slovis threw three interceptions. Threw that interception in overtime that sealed the deal for the Cougars. He ended up on the day 24 of 34 for 281 yards. They ran the ball okay on the day. Michael Pittman, who I think is a great wide receiver. I'll be interested. We have our buddy from our last draft guide on at some point in time. Dan Shaw could be interested in what he thinks of Michael Pittman going to the National Football League because he's a talented wide receiver. They got Tyler Vaughns. They got a lot of talent on this USC team. And they ran the ball quite a bit the other day because of what BYU was running defensively. But nonetheless, the pressure now goes to Clay Helton. And Clay Helton, last year 5-7, right now 2-1. And I look at their schedule. And I'm going, you know what, we're going to be talking a lot about this going forward. I mean, Kyle Whittingham is bringing in a really good football team on Friday night. And Kyle Whittingham's a good guy. He's built a great program. He's had opportunities to leave for years and years and years. And he's a former BYU linebacker. Probably could have gone to BYU a long time ago, but he stayed at Utah. But I'm looking past the game on Friday night. I don't know what's going to happen Friday night. They could win. And they go 3-1. Let's say SC actually beat Utah at home. Great. They're 3-1. Everybody's fired up. They're 2-0 in Pac-12 play. Then they've got to go up to Seattle to take on the University of Washington. And University of Washington's already stubbed their toe once this year. They got beat at home in that rain delay or whatever it was delay where they lost to Cal 10-9. But you know Chris Peterson will have his team ready to play in a home game. Then they've got a bye week. The Trojans, and then they go to Notre Dame. And you know, they could, even if they were 4-1 and they lost to Notre Dame and got beat pretty good, and so now they're 4-2 and they're, say, 3-0 in conference, the pressure's still going to be on Clay Helton. I mean, I really don't know how Clay Helton is going to survive. And we had Coach Helton on a couple of weeks ago. He's a hell of a man. And you know what he told me after I interviewed him and I talked to him on the phone? He goes, John, you call me anytime you need something. I mean, he couldn't have been nicer to me. And I'm not saying you got to be a nice guy and nice guys don't lose their job because we know that's not the case. But, boy, he's in a tough situation up there. His athletic director is no longer there. Who knows who they're going to hire? And whoever they do bring in, probably the first thing that athletic director is going to have to do is fire the head football coach unless they run the table. I don't know if they can run the table. I don't think they can with a freshman quarterback. But if you're a USC fan, I want to hear from you today. I really want to hear from you because I do care about Trojan football. And I care about UCLA football. And I'm going to get to UCLA here in a minute. But right now, what's it going to take for Clay Helton to survive up there at USC? I mean, I can only imagine today what it's like in the offices of Heritage Hall. People are probably looking at the tops of their shoes because they lost to BYU in overtime. Not that you can't lose to BYU, but this isn't a great BYU team. And SC thinks they're pretty good this year. And I know we can throw the disclaimer out there. They've got a quarterback, a freshman quarterback, that was his first start on the road. Okay, it's out there. But you know what? If you're SC, you're bigger, stronger, and faster than most of the opponents you're going to play. You got to find a way to get the job done. You got to find a way to get the job done. I'd love to hear from a Trojan fan. Is there one Trojan fan out there that would like to talk to me about Clay Helton and how long he'll be the head coach at USC? Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You know, I don't know if San Diego's a great college football hotbed. You know, I talked to people. We had a gentleman actually call the program last week and said, boy, you're right on. We were talking about those recruiting shows they have down in Georgia, and they'll have like 4 hours. Where's Billy Bob Jones going to be going? And, you know, they break it down 38 different ways. And the guy called in and said, hey, you know, I moved out here a while back. I really enjoy listening to your program. And, you know, I really appreciate you talking college football. I'm not sure people in San Diego really care all that much about college football. Maybe I ought to just talk about the NFL. You know, we get a few phone calls here and there of San Diego State fans. I open the phones up in the first hour of the program to give Aztec fans an opportunity to yell and scream and talk about a 3-0 start. Yet nobody took me up on the offer. Now, maybe in the 2 o'clock hour, I can get a college football fan. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You know, I come in here day in and day out. I got all my notepads. I've got one of the best producers in the nation producing this talk show, believe it or not. Adam is unbelievable. He's got a national reputation out there and has for a long period of time. And, you know, we can put things down on paper and I can follow a script of what he wants me to do or what I want to do. But you know what? We want to do what's best for our callers. That's the one thing that I've always done for our listeners and callers. I like to talk about what you want to talk about, not what I want to yell and scream about. Let's get back to the phones. Todd in San Diego wants to talk about Clay Helton. Todd, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Long-time listener, long-time USC Trojan fan. I'm ready for Clay Helton to be out of there.
What don't you like about him?
I just don't think he's a big-time coach. He just seems like every big game they go into, bowl games, whatever it may be, the players don't seem to rally around him.
Well, I gotta tell you this though, Todd. I take it you watched the Stanford game a week ago.
Yes.
I gotta be honest. That's the first time in a number of years that I saw SC play with fire and passion for four quarters. I mean, I thought I was watching a Pete Carroll coach team that night.
Absolutely. I actually got a little excited about that too. But then I saw what happened to Stanford on Saturday, and I said, "Well, wait a minute."
But you know what? I'll still take the win if I'm a Trojan fan. But, man, I walked down the stairs and told my wife at the end of the overtime, I said it and I didn't have much bass in my voice. I go, SC got beat. And that's about the way I told my wife.
So I hear rumors about Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah, that's been out there since Urban Meyer quit at Ohio State that he may end up at SC.
And now he's in L.A., so that's what I'm hoping for. Another couple losses and we've maybe Urban come our way.
Well, Urban Meyer, you know, he's going to get that itch, but do you want to bring Urban Meyer and all his baggage to USC with all the other problems SC's had over the last several years?
For the wins, yeah, I'm all for it.
It's all about wins. Well, hey, Todd, I want you to make sure, hey, don't go anywhere because when I come back from the break, Ryan Karchi, who covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times, we're going to ask him some of these same questions. I'm going to ask him about the Urban Meyer rumors. We're going to do that when we return. Again, thanks for that phone call, Coach John Cantara. We're going until 3 o'clock today right here on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The time coming up here at 2:35. Ryan Karchi covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times. We're going to ask him about the Urban Meyer rumors out there. And again, you know, Urban Meyer is going to coach again. I mean, after he resigned at Ohio State, the rumors were out there. And you know, would SC bring in Urban Meyer? I mean, there's a lot of baggage there. I mean, he's a tremendous coach. I mean, we know he's a tremendous coach. He works his players hard. He works his staff hard. He's demanding. But would SC go that direction? You know, I thought actually a few years ago, even before he took the Ohio State job, I thought he was going to probably end up at Texas. And I know they'd gone after Nick Saban. And then there was talk about Urban Meyer. I could see him, maybe not long term, but I could see him coach at a place like the University of Texas. I don't know about USC. I just don't know if SC would go that direction. You know, what SC needs, they need to look for the new Pete Carroll, The new young, exciting guy. You know, Pete Carroll, by the way, he won yesterday. He got his 100th career victory as the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. I wonder if Pete Carroll will get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's done, got into a couple of Super Bowls, won one. You know, you can go back to his days with the Jets and the Patriots. He still won, I think, one more game than he lost in those 3 years that he was with those ball clubs. But he's had a great run up there in Seattle. Everybody was kind of writing him off last year, and they ended up getting in the playoffs. And right now they're off to a 2-0 start right now. But, you know, they need to find the next Pete Carroll, and I don't know who that is out there. I mean, they went through Kiffin and Sarkisian, and, you know, that didn't work. SC, man, it's like a rudderless ship. It's like a rudderless ship. But I want to get over to UCLA. And I had some buddies that actually went to the game on Saturday at the Rose Bowl. It was a 5 o'clock start playing Oklahoma. And, you know, the score probably could have been a lot worse. You know, I think Lincoln Riley held the score down a little bit, 48-14. UCLA is just awful. Just awful. I can't believe it. They're so bad. Oklahoma put up 611 yards on the Bruins' defense the other day. And it could have been worse. It could have been worse. I'm telling you, Lincoln Riley pulled back the reins. They pulled back. If you're at the game, give me a call. Jalen Hurts, you know, he may end up winning the Heisman Trophy. Could you imagine 3 Oklahoma quarterbacks in a row to win the Heisman Trophy? And this kid, you could tell this kid has put in a lot of work. 15 of 20, 289 yards, 3 touchdowns. Had 14 carries for 150 yards and a touchdown. And you know what? He broke a record the other day. A lot of people had no idea about this. And it's kind of an interesting record. He became the first Sooner in history to pass for 200 yards and rush for 100 yards before halftime. That tells you how bad UCLA's defense is. Their defense is bad, but their offense is worse. They got the young quarterback, the sophomore, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and I'm not putting it all on him. I mean, that's why football is the ultimate team sport, because you have to have 11 guys doing their job on every play, and they're so bad. I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson getting hit back there, he was 15 of 26, 201 yards, 2 touchdowns, couple of interceptions. Bruins had 110 yards rushing. Great. Okay, first time they've done that in 3 games. They've had at least 100 yards. But Chip Kelly, what is going on? He's making like $23 million over the next 5 years as the head coach of UCLA. And right now, he is 3-12. 3-9 last year, 0-3 right now. And not even close. I mean, they got beat at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's good but not great. Beat them that night 24-14. The Bruins came home with a loss. They get beat a week ago 23-14 by San Diego State. First time Aztecs had ever beaten them in school history. And then they get blasted 48-14 by Oklahoma. And, you know, I'm looking, and I was looking last night going, when are they going to win a game? Are they going to win a game? But I think I might have found one for them. I don't think they're going to win at Washington State, who had a tight ball game the other night against Houston, but won it. Washington State right now 3-0. I watched a little bit of Kevin Sumlin's Arizona Wildcats on Saturday night, and they got by the Texas Tech Red Raiders. So Arizona has UCLA at Arizona down in Tucson. But I'm marking it on my calendar where I think UCLA can get their first win of the year. It's October 5th, home to Oregon State.
Coach, Chip Kelly's in year 2 of a 5-year deal. How long can they put up with this?
I think he at least gets to start next year. I think he will get at least next year. But I'm going to tell you, it is ugly right now. It is ugly. The Bruin fans cannot be happy. I'm sure Dan Guerrero's under a ton of pressure right now. Things have not been going all that well with the basketball program. We saw he had to bring in Mick Cronin after he fired Steve Alford last year. You know, I just don't know. I mean, I think right now Chip Kelly will outlast Clay Helton across town. But Chip Kelly, I mean, you take a look at what he did with the 49ers, which wasn't very good. He flamed out with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, of course, he had the great run of Oregon. But that's been like 5 or 6 years now. So I don't know. If you're a Bruin fan, you got to be pretty upset. In fact, it's almost become an unwatchable product. It's almost become an unwatchable product. Now, a very watchable product is moving from the Del Mar Fairgrounds to Petco Park. and that's Caboo. Did you go to Caboo? Did you buy that $150 one-day ticket to go to Caboo? I can't tell you how many of my friends went. Did I go? No, I didn't. I didn't. I would have gone if Adam would have invited me the other night to go see Dave Matthews. I'd have probably gone. Okay? By the way, could you open your mic for a second? How was Dave Matthews?
Oh, I had a blast. Went with my wife, got out of the house for the first time in a while. Dave was great. It was packed. There were a ton of people there.
How old is Dave Matthews now?
Whew, he's got to be pushing 45, maybe 50.
Yeah, it seems like he's been popular for years. And Dave Matthews Band, good stuff. If you went to Caboo, I'd like to hear from you. But give me your thoughts, because I know a lot of people really are going to have an opinion on this. And I saw this on Twitter last night, Adam.
Dave's 52, by the way.
52? Good show, though, wasn't it?
He was great.
How long did he play?
Almost 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
They take one break?
No breaks. Two
really?
Straight hours.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. You got your money's worth on that one, that's for sure.
Sure did.
Now, is it a big deal to you people that go to Caboo every year? Because I know my oldest daughter was down there yesterday. I'd like to hear from you because some people like it at Del Mar because they've got, you know, all the stages up there. I think some people are excited about coming down to downtown San Diego, maybe a little bit easier for people from the East County and the South Bay to get to Petco Park. There's more public transportation. I'd love to hear from people on that. And I know last night on Twitter, and everybody's got an opinion on Twitter, some people thought it was good because of the public transportation. But a lot of Padre fans, Adam, were really concerned about the ballpark getting tore up. But, again, this is going to be on September 18th through the 20th. And the Padres will have, I think, six more home games. They'll be on the road. They'll come home. And, you know, they'll get the field ready to go. But they didn't do it in October. And they have any events, as far as I know, in October because they're planning on being in the playoff hunt next year. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But a lot of people yesterday, and it was like big news. I guess when Caboo was winding down, they made the big announcement yesterday, and everybody was like all fired up. And, you know, I don't know if the people are around Del Mar, and I'm sure the people at the fairgrounds aren't excited about it because that's a lot of money going away. But, again, it may be money going in the Padres' direction to where they can go out there and get those two pitchers I keep talking about. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I'm looking forward to having this gentleman on. I've never had him on before. Ryan Karchi, he covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times. And, hey, I got to ask him, how much pressure is Clay Helton under going into this game on Friday night against the University of Utah? And what about those Urban Meyer rumors? We're going to talk about that next right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, that's not creepy at all. Perfect. Just say, play 97.3 The Fan.
.236 the time on a Monday. Hope everyone having a great day out there. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Carl's Jr. And also, I want to remind you, you can download our radio.com app so you can catch all of our Friday night high school football broadcasts no matter where you are on Friday night. Watch the game at your favorite school and listen to our broadcast to catch the action from our game and scoreboard updates from around the county. Again, on radio.com. And by the way, tomorrow, a couple of great guests from ESPN.com. Saw him the other night. He was out at the Cathedral Catholic Helix game. Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers, he's going to join me tomorrow at 12:35. And the professor, John Clayton, going to join me tomorrow at 1:35. We're very much looking forward to that. We're going to be getting back to more phone calls as well. Our number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, we've talked a lot today about San Diego State. They're off to a 3-0 start. We talked about USC. They're off to a 2-1 start. Tough loss against BYU in overtime. Now they've got a short week. They got to come home on Friday night at the Memorial Coliseum and take on the University of Utah. Utah off to a very nice start, and we talked about the struggles at UCLA as well. But right now we're going to head out to our newsmaker line. Ryan Karchi, who covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times, joins me on 97.3 The Fan. Ryan, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Boy, that was a tough one for the Trojans on Saturday there in Provo. They had opportunities to win that football game, were unable to do it. And when that final play got picked off by Keaton Slovis, I think the Trojan fans had to be in disbelief.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a happy fan base after this game. I mean, you talk about all the positive feelings that were coming out of USC following the win they had over Stanford. You have a freshman quarterback kind of electrify the offense and everything is looking up, and then all of a sudden you go on the road and everything changes again. So, yeah, I think generally USC fans aren't happy with Kay Helton. They aren't happy with the offense, the defense. There's a lot to be upset about after that game.
Ryan, I want to get to Clay Helton here in a minute, but I want to back up because a week ago, right about this time, maybe a half hour earlier or so, it came down from Arash Markazi, who has been a good friend of my program for a long period of time. He had tweeted out that Lynn Swann had resigned. What was it like last week when you're covering USC on campus with Lynn Swann resigning and all the uncertainty going forward?
Well, it was interesting timing, just given that it was coming off of this big win. There was a lot of positive feelings around the program, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's announced that Lynn Swann is resigned. And, you know, the news came down the pipeline so quickly that, you know, a lot of people in the athletic department itself didn't actually know what was going on. I know Clay Helton found out, you know, a little bit before the announcement. I would say Clay Helton and I probably found out about the same time about Lynn Swann's fate. So there was a lot of uncertainty just coming out of the athletic department after that. But it was also at the same time kind of expected. So I know, you know, when they hired a university president, she's made it pretty clear that she wanted to bring in her own leadership team. And Lynn Swann didn't necessarily have the best reputation around LA and at USC. So that change wasn't entirely unexpected, but it did sort of throw a wrench in things for Clay Helton moving forward, because Lynn Swann was kind of the guy who had you know, given him the vote of confidence or kept him around last year. So now you throw in a loss to BYU after that, and all of a sudden, you know, Clay Helton's seat is as hot as it was, or as it's been all season.
Ryan Karchi covers the Trojans for the LA Times, our guest here on 97.3 The Fan. I've got to ask you, you know, Lynn Swann, you know, here's an All-American football player at SC, a Hall of Fame wide receiver with the Pittsburgh Steelers, been on TV for years with ABC, everybody, best friend. Why didn't it work for him as the athletic director at USC, and what were the knocks on him?
Well, I think a lot of people just look at that situation and they sort of see a athletic hero from USC, which tends to be the kind of person that USC has hired in the past, but someone who didn't have any administrative experience. So now when you're talking about running an athletic department in the 21st century, I mean, it's a pretty business-like atmosphere. You really have to have that sort of CEO grasp on things, and that just simply wasn't Lynn Swann. He was a former football player who obviously could fundraise, and he could you know, function in a political sort of atmosphere. He could do that part of the job, but when it came to the other parts, he just simply didn't have the tools to be able to do that. So a lot of people sort of latch onto that, and then you give in, you know, all of the issues with the football team and the basketball team. There were two FBI investigations, there's the admission scandal, all of this sort of happening underneath the nose of both Lynn Swann and Pat Hayden, his predecessor. So there was just a lot of generally bad feelings going around the USC athletic department. And with a new president, I think she sort of realized that it would be better off for her if she could just start with her own team and, you know, maybe hire someone who has a little bit more administrative experience.
Hey, Ryan, where do you think this college scam situation is going to go, the Lori Loughlin case?
Well, you know, at this point, it's hard to tell. And I know it's kind of interesting what happened with Lucy Huffman last week, with, you know, just getting 2 weeks in jail.
But she handled it a lot better than Lori Loughlin or her husband are handling it.
Yeah, it seems like that she made the right choice in terms of how she handled the situation, I would say. So I think we may see the book thrown at Lori Loughlin a little bit more, but on the USC athletic side, it still sort of remains to be seen how all of that will work out. I mean, they did fire a few people who were involved, including the top lieutenants in the athletic department. But whether anything else will come of it on the athletic side, it's hard to say at this point.
We're visiting with Ryan Kartsey from the LA Times, who covers the USC Trojans. How long a leash does Coach Helton have, you think?
You know, I think we'll know over these next three games, over this next month. I mean, they play Utah this week. That's a team-to-week team in the nation. Then you go to Washington, and then you have a bye, then you go to Notre Dame. If he comes out of that with three losses, which is definitely possible and quite possibly likely, then I don't know that he'll last through that, or past week seven, which is when that stretch would end. So, you know, I think he really needs a win here, and if he could get it this week, that would certainly calm any sort of concern that he would be fired mid-season. But at this point, with a new athletic director coming in, you have to think, you know, even if he does come out of this season with eight or so wins, maybe that new athletic director just decides they want to hire their own guy and let them go anyway. So at this point, I think unless this team can make a serious turnaround, Clay Helton may not be the coach next year unless, you know, say 10 wins or 11 wins he can manage from here. But that, just judging by last week's game, that certainly doesn't look like it's something that's likely.
Ryan, I'm going to ask you, and we're visiting with Ryan Kartsey from the LA Times here on 97.3 The Fan. These rumors have been out there for a while, and I don't know if there's any other names out there, but the one name we always hear is Urban Meyer. Have you heard that up on campus at all? I mean, would they talk to him? I mean, obviously, at some point, he's probably going to get back into coaching.
Well, he just did do an interview recently in which he said that he still sort of has that itch. Now, whether he would want to get back in as soon as next year remains to be seen. But, you know, I think that's the first name that USC will put on its wish list. I mean, you hear it from everyone, even, you know, from fans on message boards to even some boosters who, you know, who have a very high opinion of their own football program. They seem to be convinced that Urban will at least give it a look. Now, it'll be interesting this week. Actually, he's a part of the broadcast team that will be at the Coliseum for the game on Friday. So he will be in the Coliseum watching Clay Helton coach and potentially for his job here in the next couple of weeks. And I think that just on its own will be an interesting storyline coming into this week.
Well, Ryan, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to mention there's another guy that's going to be coming to the Coliseum who's persona non grata right now at USC, and that's Reggie Bush. He's on that broadcast team along with his old teammate Matt Leinart. That ought to be interesting, having Reggie Bush at the Coliseum Friday night.
Definitely, and I think, you know, the fact that he and Urban are coming together really is it's just almost too much. The amount of storylines coming in, just even when you don't count the game itself, it's actually kind of amazing. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see his comments coming in, because obviously he's in sort of a fraught relationship, and I think a lot of people would say at this point, this far out from the scandal that happened, that, you know, they feel that Reggie Bush has sort of been treated unfairly in this whole situation. So I think he'll get a really warm reception at the Coliseum. I imagine that, you know, fans will be very happy to see him. How he feels and how the administration feels about him being there is a whole other question entirely. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Hey, I want to ask you one last question, and it's around Reggie Bush. Of course, you know, I covered him when he was down here at Helix High School. I covered him as a junior and senior in his championship games, and as a junior he had Alex Smith as his quarterback. And so, you know, I followed him, and I know that, you know, they took his Heisman Trophy away from him and all that. But, you know, a few weeks ago, well, it was the Stanford game, I believe, or maybe the Fresno State game, they had all the pictures of guys that have won Heisman trophies. O.J. Simpson's was up there, and Reggie Bush's wasn't. I mean, the university, I mean, they've really washed their hands clean of Reggie Bush. They wouldn't even acknowledge that he was even there.
Yeah. At this point, I think that's another example of how maybe this has gone too far. It's, you know, it's interesting that you bring up the O.J. thing. You know, my colleague Arash, who you mentioned earlier, he actually wrote about that, how it's kind of ridiculous that the school would hold up number 32 in that same regard and then forget about number 5. I think USC is really just hoping to not have to answer questions about that this week. I know they've sort of dug their heels in when it comes to Reggie. So whether that relationship may someday be healed, it's still possible. But if I'm Reggie Bush personally, I would take it as a slight how all of this has happened. So maybe he doesn't care about being welcomed back on campus. Maybe he does, and maybe we'll see that on Friday.
That's going to be very interesting on Friday, to say the least. Hey, as I let you get out of here, what's the time frame, or is there right now, on hiring a new athletic director?
You know, at this point, I think they're going to take their time. I do imagine that hopefully, or that potentially you might be hiring a new coach, you're going to want to get that hiring done really quickly just because of the early signing period. So you want to give that athletic director, you know, maybe say a month or so, just to kind of get their bearings on what kind of coach they might want if Clay Helton doesn't stay. So I would imagine, you know, maybe here in the next month or 6 weeks, we might have a better idea of who that is. But you know, that's still up in the air. There's still a lot of season left. So it's also possible it could be, you know, into November that we don't hear something about that.
Well, Ryan, one thing for sure, when you're covering the Trojans for the LA Times, you got a bevy of stories pretty much each and every day, don't you?
Never a boring moment.
Hey, thanks so much for joining me today, Ryan. Really enjoyed it, and we'll look forward to doing this again sometime.
Great. Thanks so much.
There you go. Ryan Karchi, who covers the USC Trojans for the LA Times. Wow, there was a lot of info in that interview. Holy cow. Can you imagine on Friday night, the Fox crew, Leinart will be up there with with Reggie Bush and Urban Meyer. I wonder if Urban Meyer will go over, like, during a break and talk to Clay Helton. Wouldn't that be interesting to have a picture of Clay Helton talking to Urban Meyer? That is going to be really, really interesting to what goes on. And, hey, you know what? I hope Clay Helton runs the table. I hope he wins the Pac-12. He's a great guy. We appreciated him coming on my program. He's been dealt some tough blows up there. But, boy, losing to BYU, that just can't happen. You can't, if you're SC, allow BYU to beat you. And, by the way, BYU will be here in San Diego. I don't have the data in front of me, but they play the Aztecs the last regular season game of the year. Adam, you got the date on that?
Yeah, I believe it's November 30th.
November 30th. That'll be the last regular season game for the Aztecs. And, again, that'll be a non-conference game. I wonder if BYU's ever going to get back into a conference. You know, they tried to, pull a Notre Dame and be without a conference. I don't think it's worked out all that well. And I got to be honest with you. As far as basketball, makes no sense that they're in the West Coast Conference. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, let's get to today. We got a really, really special Hang a Star play of the day.
What play separated the winners from the losers? It's time for the Hang a Star play of the day.
You can hang a star on that, baby.
The 97.3 The Fan.
The pitch is a swing and a fly ball deep to right. Going back is Casey. It is a grand slam. A grand slam, and Amarillo has taken the lead 5-3.
That was the Hang a Star play of the day on the John Cantara Show on 97.3 The Fan.
In that grand slam hit by Taylor Trammell, who came over in that deal with the Cincinnati Reds, that three-way deal with the Cleveland Indians for Franmil Reyes. And if you might want to go online, you want to see this guy's power? I mean, it was unbelievable how that ball jumped off his bat, and he performed really well down the stretch. The latter part of the regular season last week or two started to get hot, had a great playoff, and yesterday they ended up winning the Texas League Championship 8-3 yesterday.
We'll tweet out that video from at 97.3TheFanSD.
Oh, that'd be great, and really check it out. I mean, you're going to see not only did he hammer it, I mean, that ball jumped off his bat, but watch his home run trot out there as well. It was really pretty cool. So congratulations to our gentleman that we had on the program last week, Philip Wellman. the manager of the Amarillo Sod Poodles. And I got to tell you, the fans, they stepped up in a big way. They had like 37 sellouts down there, I believe, this year. And I know they sold it out for the playoffs as well. But the fans really greeted that ball club when they got back from Tulsa last night. So good young players on the way. And again, hopefully all these prospects are going to be great major league players for our Padres here in the not-too-distant future. I want to get back to USC. And that's the first time I've ever had Ryan Karchi on my program. And definitely won't be the last time. Hopefully he enjoyed it as much as I did. But there was some valuable information there. You know, Lynn Swann, here's the problem when you hire a guy that has no experience. You have to make sure that you're hiring people around him. And, you know, what they should have done, and this is what I always encourage young head coaches to do, go get a guy that has had your job before but doesn't want to be that head coach again. And I would do the same thing. If I was named athletic director at San Diego State or USD or a university, do I feel I could do a good job of hiring coaches? Absolutely. Do I feel that I'd work well with student athletes and work with others? Absolutely. But do I know all the compliance rules? No, because I'm not even sure all the compliance people don't know the rules the way that NCAA manual is written. They have made it a little bit easier, but when I was a recruiting coordinator many years ago, I used to carry that NCAA manual with me everywhere I went because I didn't want to break NCAA rules. But what you do is you hire someone that's been an athletic director who can give you good opinions. Like, you know, it's like with an offensive and defensive coordinator. You're going to ask your offensive coordinator for some opinions and the defensive coordinator as well and special teams coordinator. But at the end of the day, you're the head coach. You got to make a final decision. Where Lynn Swann probably fell short is he doesn't have a network of people because he's never worked in the industry. Not only has he never been an athletic director, he had never worked in the industry before. So you don't have all those people that have been there, done that before. And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. And again, you know, they went from Mike Garrett to Pat Hayden, who we've had coach or Pat Hayden on the show several times over the years. And he's a great guest. He's a great man, an attorney. He was a Rhodes Scholar. We know about him, you know, what he did in the NFL with the Rams. A great man. And, you know, he had some health issues as well. But I think Pat Hayden overall did a pretty good job up there at SC. I mean, you can always poke a hole in someone that is up on the top. It's easy to pick away, but you also have to be fair and point out what they've done well. And the one thing that Pat Hayden did really well was he got out to a lot of different events. I mean, he just didn't sit there and watch the football team or the basketball team. He went to, you know, the Olympic sports, the ladies sports and all that. Before I get out of here today, and I'm kind of remiss because last night I heard he passed away. John Ralston, the longtime coach at Stanford, went on to the National Football League with the Denver Broncos and came back and kind of got that program going again at San Jose State. He passed away yesterday or over the weekend at the age of 92. I met Coach Ralston back in 1992. I was doing the Shrine game at Veterans Stadium in Long Beach, and I'll never forget Sharman Shaw, who eventually changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the running back who played at UCLA and with the Miami Dolphins. He was in that game, and I remember Coach Ralston was my halftime guest, and what a marvelous man, an absolute gem. You know, he had Jim Plunkett when they won a couple of Rose Bowls up there, and Randy Vataha, the great wide receiver. But John Ralston was so much more than just a football coach. He was a great man, a great mentor to a lot of people. I wish I had his coaching tree in front of me right now. But I know guys like Bill Walsh, Dick Vermeil worked under him, and just a tremendous human being. And I know the people that know him, and maybe you're listening right now that played for him, know what I'm talking about. But I wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I was so excited back in 1992 at halftime when they told me John Ralston was going to be my halftime guest. And I eventually had him on my regular program a couple of different times. But again, he passed away up in Northern California this week at the age of 92. A great day today. Tomorrow we got Eric Williams from ESPN who covers the Chargers, and we'll be joined by the professor John Clayton tomorrow as well. Rich Herrera, thank you very much. Adam Klug, outstanding effort. Thanks for tuning in. Chris Ello coming up next and taking you to 340 in Padre Baseball on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks for downloading the John Quintero Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.